Welcome to the Dirt Bike Breeder Podcast. My name is Jeremy, and in this episode, we have Corey McMahon, young fella from New South Wales doing some amazing things on motorcycle, top five in Fink. Just got home from representing Australia at the 6-day Enduro. He's done big things with the AORC. Went to Hadar, didn't have a good run, but make sure you go check out our video. One that kind of went, I think what we can actually we can class as viral was that's Corey McMahon on the bike with his rear disc hub being smashed to pieces. So go check that out. That was a pretty awesome moment to capture, but obviously not for poor Corey. So go check that out. Corey's been around for a while in the off-road scene, so it was great to see him really making progress this year. He's got some cool people in his corner, Gas Gas Australia, Michael Carusi, things like that. So there's big things to come from this young fella, and I'm excited to see where to go. So thank you so much, Corey, for your time. It was before Hatter in a van in a caravan park, so thank you very much for your time, mate. We love your slippers, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do in the future. As always, we want to thank our supporters, Grassroots Hard Enduro, B&B Off-Road, Goatman Extreme, Whole Shock Graphics, On Point Motor Suspension, Acherby's Australia, Global Racing Oils, and Adventure On Store. Make sure you go and sign up for the next round of the New South Wales Hard Enduro Series, because it's coming up soon and it's going to be a cracker. So it's a whole different format, seeing as what I've been told, so that's quite exciting. Kalgoorlie Desert Race is coming up as well. That's exciting. Currently, Sunraysia Safari is on, so go check that out. I know there's a lot of cool stuff being posted on social, so go check that out. Victor on his quad. Oh, quads. Oh, I have no idea. So go check that out. Wildwood's coming up. Insane Ride's coming up. Like, there's still... We may be at the back end of the year, but there's still a lot of exciting things coming up. So I'm actually going to check it out. Get out there and roost your mates. Cheers.
Welcome to the Dirt Bike Burrito Podcast. Each episode, the crew will be talking with riders, organisers and supports in the off-road motorcycle scene. From desert racing and hard enduro to flat track and trials, a little bit of everything rolled into one. A Dirt Bike Burrito. Follow us and stay up to date with upcoming guests on our social media pages and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, just a heads up, these boys and girls are passionate about what they do. Some bad words could jump out throughout the episode. So sit back in your car or crank your workout to the next level and enjoy.
They're going to know you, I tell you that. They're going to know you. They'll be like, oh, it's that McMahon.
What is it again?
It's that young kid, McMahon again. MacGyver. Yeah,
that bloke.
That McLovin fella.
Bloke on the red bike.
Yeah, it's old McLovin over there on the gas.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just do a bit of an intro and then we'll get straight into it.
No worries, perfect.
All right, welcome to the Bike Breeder Podcast. My name is Jeremy and I'm in another van. In Hatter, another. This one's way better than the van I was in last night, though, mate. I'm with Corey McMahon. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Getting along and enjoying my time out here in Victoria, which is nice and warm, as they say.
Oh, it's beautifully warm, mate. As we were saying before, sun hasn't even come up yet, mate. It's a bit of a late riser out here, not compared to us. I think I tripped over your mechanic on the floor out there as well, buddy. Sleeping.
Yeah, Carusi's dragged her in last night. Him, mum and dad came through the night and got here at 4 this morning so mum could sort me out and get me race viewed and all that prep before tomorrow. So they're definitely putting in the work and stoked to have them all here, and can't thank Carusi enough for making the time to come help me as well.
Well, like as we said before, they left at what, 5 o'clock last night and got here at 4:30 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah, no, they're definitely the best to me, and I can't thank them enough for what they've done for me. Not only this last month, been to Fink, I've been all over the shop, and they're there every time to support me, which is probably, some people don't have parents like that, and I'm just super grateful to have a family, and even like my brother and a couple of close mates that support me. They're coming down this weekend as well, and to come from Fink, have time off work and then come down to Hatter to support me as well. It's crazy how much they do for me.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, as you said before, you're just at the base of the Blue Mountains in Sydney, so it's a hell of a trip to get all the way here. And as you said, and Fink, I mean, you're up at Fink for months, you know, like running and pre-running, so, I mean, it's huge effort for both you, but then, as I said, your family as well.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, pretty much since Fink, I've been home for one night. I sort of went up through Queensland and had a couple of days on the Sunshine Coast relaxing and trying to heal the body a little bit after Fink, and then home for one day, pick up the bike and then straight down here and back into training. So,
mate,
absolutely loving the grind at the minute.
That gas life, mate, just on it all the time.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's so helpful to be able to not work this year and actually chase the dream properly and enjoy riding and training and getting the whole, like, testing, all of that stuff in before the races, which is good.
I mean, and it's really shown, like, your results are really showing that it's benefiting you. I mean, like, Fink was just... Oh, let's not get too far ahead. Let's go back. Let's go all the way back to how young McCannon, isn't it?
McMahon. it's McMahon.
McLovin, isn't it? McLovin, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that bloke on the red bike.
Let's go all the way back to the start. How did you get onto a bike? How did you get into where you are now?
Yeah, so it's actually a strange beginning. It all started sort of dad's a football player and mum was more into the motorbike or pop. He was a flat tracker back in his day, and then dad's pop loved the road bikes, and so did dad. But yeah, mainly me and mum's dad sort of got us into the bikes, and I think I started on a QR50 when I was about 3 years old. So
wow.
Yeah. I'm a younger brother, so my brother started when he was 5 and I was 3, so hence the 53 number, and then... Yeah, it turned out that was me pop's number back in the day well, so it's pretty unreal.
That's
and
sick.
It's like a meant-to-be story, and that was where it started, and ever since then I've been hooked and chasing that big brother.
Right, and so did you start by racing flat track with your pop, or was it motocross?
Yeah, no, it was always just for fun. I started in Minicana out at Penrith there, so just what most young fellas did back in the day, just going around cones and learning how to ride the bike, and then... So slowly moved up to like Minicana days up at Clarence there, and then a couple of race meets there turned into a couple of race meets somewhere else, and it's all been progressing since then.
And that's just kind of snowballed from and into where you are now, the off-road stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so it's taken it way back. This is when we sort of met Caruzzi. I just got my first 65, I think it was, and. That's sort of when we started racing a little bit more with Pro Rider back then, and Caruzzi was one of the mechanics there, and ever since then we've been getting along like a house on fire with him, so hence him coming on board this year, which is good.
And I mean, has it been primarily off-road, or have you kind of dabbled in all the forms of motorcycle?
Yeah, no, so it was predominantly all motocross, and then I did flat track. I think I won Australian title on a 65 in flat track. But yeah, mainly it was all motocross up until about 2018 when I had my first go at the enduro scene.
And like, is it the motocross scene, was it like that's what you wanted to do? You didn't really see off-road at that point? Because I mean, growing up where you did in Penrith and obviously seeing Caruso, you would have had so much exposure to the off-road stuff. Like, was it just no drive to come over earlier?
Yeah, I just never really enjoyed it as a young bloke. I was sort of, I'd done one off-road, I think, on an 85 and... I just, didn't enjoy it that much. I wasn't tall. I was on an 85 then, and I was only, like, 10 years old or something. So I was still young on the bike, and I just hadn't grown yet. Like, I was sort of a late developer and didn't grow till a little bit older. And enduro scene, I just didn't like it, and I didn't really enjoy it as a junior. Like, I found it... As you are, as a kid, you want to do the funner stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
it,
the
yeah.
sloppy rocks and all that, and... try challenge yourself, and that's why I stuck to the motocross, and we enjoyed the motocross as a family. My brother loved the motocross. He's a shorter bloke as well, and he really enjoyed the motocross and was doing well in his day. So that was mainly the focus as a junior, to chase that motocross. But things ventured out, and we found the off-road scene, which I'm forever grateful for.
And so what was it, what was that turning point to get into the off-road?
I'd done the New South Wales off-road, I think it was 2017, and really enjoyed it. Like, it was probably one of the funnest years I had racing, just riding the off-road tracks on a 250. I was a little bit bigger and stronger then, so really enjoyed the 2 hours and all that stuff as a junior, and sort of 2018 encouraged me to do the Aussie off-roads after we done, I think it was the New South Wales off-road at Kyogle in 2017, and like, it was probably one of the funnest races I'd done.
And so what made you do it? Like I said, you're a motocross base. It was just kind of like a weekend free, and you thought, oh, I'll just have a crack.
Yeah, as I say to most people, I love racing, and that's when I was growing up a bit, and I was sitting at home, I'm still working, I'm like, I want to go race my dirt bike on the weekend, and we just seen that it was the New South Wales off-road on, and the first round, I think it was at Maitland, actually. And it just went and done it, and like it was probably, yeah, like just really enjoyed it from then on in.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's awesome that you took that leap. I mean, if you'd never actually given a chance to actually go and have a crack at it, I mean, you may not have been here.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, it was pretty much, yeah. Dad always loved the off-road. He was more of an enduro bloke when he rode and loved the trail riding and that. And I think he enjoys the off-road scene a little bit more, more friendly and a little bit more chilled out, as like we're a family that will speak to anyone and praise anyone and have the time for everyone. And just I felt like the motocross scene was at that age was getting a bit stuck up, and we weren't really fitting in. We were always the people out in the back just riding our own race, turning up with our certain group of friends, and yeah, just doing our own thing.
No, I mean, you know, there's so many, it's interesting when we talk to people, there's so many different perspectives of, like, the scenes and things like that, but off-road and desert scene, you kind of get, like, especially the desert scene, people just say, like, they're the friendliest, nicest people in the world, and, I mean, you have to be to have a screw loose to be able to do what you guys do at the speed you do, so it makes sense.
Yeah, 100%, I ride better when I'm happy and I'm joking around and hanging shit on people and carrying on, and that's what I've really enjoyed all the time. And I know some people can't take that, and like that motocross scene definitely is not one to be going to the scrutineering or riders briefing and bagging people out and joking around with like the top guys. It's just not like that sort of thing. But we can be on the start line of an AORC and there's Jeremy bagging me out, me bagging Jeremy out, and it's like it's actually a lot more enjoyable. Like turn up the start line, yeah, we race hard, but like we can still joke along and have a good time at the same time.
And so, how much difference when back then did you find the motocross to the enduro scene? Because everybody, you know, we've had like Todd Waters and things like that come across, and they're saying that, you know, it's way harder now. Like, did you really struggle to come across?
Oh yeah, well I was pretty lucky. I got sort of the last year of juniors. I think Kyron was racing that year, and Josh Brealey and Corey Hammond and all them boys. So I'm mates with them too from back home. They're local boys as well back in the day, and we like just had a lot of fun doing it, and they helped me a lot, which is I can't really say this is all me, because there's been a lot of people just from friends and families that have helped me get across to the off-roads, and even like just with Caruzzi and Milner and Snoddy and all them back in the day, like they're all super helpful as I came across as a junior, just having them contacts. So forever grateful for that as well.
And they're big names, like you just dropped in, like, you know, Snoddy, Milner, Caruzzi, they're the big names in enduro who you want, like anybody would want in their corner. So to have them like in that transition period would be huge.
Yeah, just for their words of advice and their, like, yeah, just encouragement and all that. I think I remember Omeo one year and we were doing a 2-hour as a junior, and then there's Snoddy and Milner and Caruzzi on the side of the track cheering me on, and I was like, this is pretty cool. Like the boy, their cross-country was obviously later in the day, but, yeah, no, it's moments like that you remember forever.
Oh, yeah, and, I mean, if you're going to follow someone as well in the bush, it'd be those guys, you know, they're the ones you want to be chasing and tailing to learn off.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I didn't really get to do much riding with the guys as I was working full-time at that stage, but, yeah, no, definitely just the conversations and feeling like you're welcome there was probably one of the main things that stood out for me and made me enjoy the off-road scene a lot more.
And so then when was the transition to Fink?
Yeah, that was a that was a bit of, throw it out there and then someone bit and next minute we're at Fink free-running on a 250, which was last year was my first year, and I can't thank people from Blair's Tyres, Central Coast Small Goods and Kenda Tyres, CDA Australia, for they're the main organisers of my Fink journey last year and the main organisers of the Fink and Hatter journey this year, which is crazy how much support they put into me, and it's so good to see outside sponsors coming in and supporting our sport like that. It's just it actually how it eventuated. I got my best mate Luke Bray, we were just talking about it. I enjoyed Hatter, I enjoyed the desert stuff, and he's like, oh, would you do Fink? I'm like, yeah, we'd do it. And then I turn around and Dad's like, you want to do it? And then we're doing it. And then Luke's old man came on board, and then next minute we got a bike built together and we're going to Fink. So, no, it was a funny journey, but it turned out that it worked out all right for us this year as well anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so what was the first, what was the bike, you were at the 250 last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I was on a Gas Gas MC 250.
And how did, and like, obviously, you were running off-roads and think, oh no, last year, yeah, we were doing off-roads last year, I can't remember.
Yeah, so last year we got the one round of, at Golden Beach.
Was that last year?
Yeah.
It's all messed up.
So, I was sort of lucky. I was doing the nationals at that stage, the motocross nationals last year. So, I actually got, I think it was 4 or 5 rounds of the motocross nationals in, 1 round of the ALRC and Fink, which is...
That's huge. That's a massive amount of racing.
I actually got a decent amount of racing in last year compared to most people that were just sticking to the off-roads, which only sort of got the one race in, and then they got to do Hatter. Obviously, I didn't get to do that because I was in the Sydney,
that's right,
greater Sydney region bubble. With the COVID. So, I got a fair bit of racing in last year, which was good and very helpful for me.
So was Fink kind of like a race, though? Like, was Fink, you know, some people, like, plan all their lives to go Fink because Fink is, like, that mantle of a race for desert. Or but was Fink like that for you, or was Fink, it's a race, I want to just add it to my calendar and off we go?
Yeah, and no, it was sort of strange how it worked. I've sort of always a little bit followed it on the side and watched it and watched the people coming through Fink and, like, really enjoyed watching it. That's one of the biggest off-road events in Australia, and you can definitely tell when you're there, the organisation and all of that of that event is crazy. And yeah, I was just looking at it. I'm like, I want to do that one day. I don't know. Like, I was going there last year with no expectations to finish the race and see where it went from there. But it's snowboard very fast, that's for sure. So
very fast. How many hours did you on the Fink track did you do before the race last year?
So last year was actually a huge effort. I was full time plumber at the time, and me and Dad were flying out every weekend, like sort of in the month before the race. My pop was out there living again for a month with the bikes out there. So we were flying out on the Friday night and flying back on the Sunday night.
What?
Like, it was pretty gnarly sometimes Monday morning because I think the flights were only on the mornings.
Fuck, that's factory life, mate.
No, it wasn't the most exciting life. Go pre-run for 2 days out at Fink, and then...
So all that week's whole way, you just went to the plane tickets and then running back and forth?
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, no, I don't know how well she does it. He's a man out there. He does it every weekend and just goes back to work on a Monday, which is crazy. So, like, I was pretty useless on a Monday. So, if you're my boss here and this, like, I'm sorry, mate. But
yeah. I guess it would have also been, like, you would have been useless maybe Monday, Tuesday, healed up by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're good to go. Then, bam, straight back into the cycle. But that's a huge commitment, especially because it's, like, something that, you know, you kind of were in and out of and you really want to have a crack, but to be flying there every weekend just to fucking have a go, mate, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. So, yeah, it's sort of hard to explain, but, yeah, my parents have always grown up telling me if I see you putting in the work, then we'll help you. And that's the main thing. I train my ass off, and I'm not going to say I don't, because I really believe I do, and I try my hardest to be the best on race day. And they seen that, and they saw that I was putting in the work for Fink when all this came together, and they supported it. Like, to have my pop go out there.
Oh yeah, crazy.
And his girlfriend at the time, and stay out there for a month, and pretty much just live out there with my bikes, just so I could race the races. Just
so he just lived out there and just waited for you to come on a weekend.
Yeah, just picked us up from the airport on the Friday and dropped us there on the Monday. So yeah, he's a pretty gnarly bloke.
And I mean, it paid off for you in the end. Obviously, last year's Fink, first in class on the 250, and that's huge.
Yeah, it was first in class and 7/8 outright, and it was just. Like, with the circumstances, yeah, you don't want to say I wanted to race back, but it was one of them things where I was, as we were this year, get down there and then race back. So we sort of fell a little bit short last year, and I felt like that was a little bit of the fire for the belly this year, and we're really eager to go for the there and back.
Can I ask, though, how the hell did you get a 250 down in the top 20? And, like, that's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's... I really don't know either, to be honest with you.
Look at the pack around you, it would be like big balls, like the 450, maybe a 450, but it was mainly 500s in that year, and then there's this little 250 that could, Yeah. You made it, mate.
Yeah, yeah, no, I felt like the 250, like it's an awesome bike out there, and I really recommend it for everyone doing their first go to go out on a bike like that. It was one of the best learning experiences I had on a bike out there, that's for sure, and it would have helped me so much for this year. It was just from learning the track, the 250 is a little bit slower and you can process everything a little bit more, and when I turned up this year and I could recognise things I already knew from last year, which was good. And yeah, the 250 was not mucking around. I think we were running 1440 sprocket on the back, so it was a little sprocket on the back. But yeah, no, she went good, and as I say, it could have got better as it got rougher, and I felt like the way home would have been a little bit rougher, and we could have climbed maybe that list a little bit more.
Mate, that's so crazy thing about it. I mean, I guess on the 250, it was also one of those bikes where you could ride it instead of, like, the bike riding you. You were on top of it. It probably would have sounded the same as, like, Walshy, just not backing off, just, like, going the whole yard.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy last year, being, like, the first 250 coming along with all the crowd there, as you know, like, the 250 is a different tone, and it's just revving its absolute nut off, and yeah, it's pretty cool experience. But you got to take it all in, like, yeah, I think you're only doing a top speed about 160, and that 10-15k slower, you can see a lot more, like, you can focus in on a lot more, which is
the crazy thought to say about, like, oh, 160, it was lovely, we could see this fucking birds, I was like looking at the rock formations, it was lovely and slow, but, like, you're still in the top 20 though, man. This is the thing, like, you know, you maybe say it's slower because it must be just better in, like, in the tighter stuff or in the whoops and things like that, you're able to, like, just throw that speed in there a lot more confident.
Yeah, 100%. I probably reckon I was probably quicker through the whoops last year on the 250 than I was this year on the 450, I reckon. It was just one of them bikes that handled unreal because of the weight of it. It was light. I was big for it, and I could hold on to it. Like, it was pretty much fifth gear wedge most of the time. And, yeah, it was just one of them bikes I enjoyed riding, and it'd be good to go back one year, like, maybe later on in the track and see what we can do, like, over a full race distance on a 250.
You'd just melt it, though, surely. Like, that fourth thing would have just melted and died.
Nah, got Afro built in the race engine, so we're safe there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's methanol injected and fire breathing.
All them secrets.
Yeah, yeah, so many secrets. Didn't realise how many secrets there were. But then, because you didn't, I mean, that wasn't, though, your taste for the desert. You done had our before that, the Mudder. Everybody wants to know it as, and that's not really the desert, but that's that race, but it is the desert now, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So what really got you into the desert?
Yeah, so I done, yeah, probably the biggest thing that made me enjoy the desert and made me a little bit angry, I think it was my year that, my last year of juniors, I was in the 250 junior class racing the junior Hatter, and I think I led the first two laps pretty comfortably. Pulled a good gap and ended up getting a stick through the bottom of my fuel rail on the carb on the injection system and just snapping the little plastic fuel pickup on it, and that was my race done. And after that, I was stuck out in the bush. I had a little bit of time to stew on it and get angry, and yeah, no, it was my point in time where I was like sitting there and I'm like, I love this desert stuff and I really want to try my hand in the desert. And yeah, from then on in, I've just always loved it.
Mate, the most, like, unusual way to end a race, though. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah, look, even the boys were saying, it's like, I've never seen that before. I've never seen it again. It was just...
just that freak stick.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, my luck. That's what it was. It was just one of them things where it's racing.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, and you can't expect anything, and that's what I try to tell most people with this desert stuff. Like, you can be the fastest bloke out here, but you still might not finish. It's just one of them races that's so hard on the bikes, and Hatter, I think, all them desert races, they're just, you got to get the bike to the end as well as yourself. So.
Yeah, it is really like getting you both to the end. Like, that's what it is. I mean, you're right in the guys, like, racing is racing. You never know what is going to happen. Like, but the desert is just something different out there, especially because the distances you're covering, the speeds you're doing, and, like, even Hatter isn't just like a big open speed race too. It's a bit of an, like, a sand motocross track really for you.
Yeah, 100%. Well, the best way to describe the first lap as Hatter is line up for MX2 race at Coolum and do 30 minutes in the sand. It's pretty much the start of Hatter, which is pretty gnarly. So no, it's definitely one of them races. It's everyone thinks that you come from Fink and you're used to the speeds and come out here, but I spent my first day overshooting every berm that there was on this track that we trained at, and yeah, it's a completely different race. You just don't realise how much going from Fink and then coming to Hutto as a transition is, and there's a lot more turning and stopping involved. Like Fink's got a few corners and that, but they're all pretty much third high gear speed and above sort of thing. So yeah, no, it's a completely different story out here. Even the way you got to stand on the bike, the way your bike's set up, it's completely different to Fink. Fink, you more want to be central on the bike and over the top of the bike and controlling it with your upper body as well as your legs. And then out here at Hutto, you need to be over the back of the bike because the sand's so deep and grabby. And yeah, it's two different completely riding styles out here.
Yeah, which is awesome that you've learned so quickly, because I mean, you're only a young fella too. What, you're like 21, 22?
Oh yeah, 20 years old.
Fucking, what an asshole. Anyway, I mean,
can't believe you'd say I look that old, mate.
Mate, I think it's just your old soul, buddy. And your old man slippers, that's
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Don't look at them. Lucky we've got no cameras here.
No, nah, mate, we're going to post those bad boys. But, like, you're only young, and to be able to, like, really pick this up and learn so quickly, and the results are showing, like, it's a huge, like thing for you, mate.
Yeah, 100%. It's one of them things where I want to pursue this sport, and to, as working with Grabo and all them, they drill into you like what you learnt from this year, write it down and learn to be better next year. And that's what I've sort of done the last couple of years, or since I've been working with Grabo, is just focus on what I'm doing wrong than more than what I'm doing right, and changing them things that are wrong. So that's the biggest thing with adapting to these races, and just working how your body reacts to a 4-hour race. And then you got your Fink, which is an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's two different diets and hydration and all that side of things, and that's what makes the body perform and make you get the best results you can. So
yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, Fink is a sprint, Hutto is endurance, you know, like a marathon kind of thing, and I guess that's how you have to train here.
Yeah that's it. Well, doing the hours on the bike out at Fink pre-running is really helpful for out here, I feel. And yeah, we should be fit enough, and hopefully I've got my hydration and all that diet sorted for this year. And like the first year I done Hutto, I cramped up like no tomorrow, and hopefully we've changed that. We'll realise what we're doing wrong and what we're doing right. So that's the main thing, is just consistently learn. And it could, even after Fink, I still look at things and said I did that wrong, and we'll try to be better for next year.
I mean, you're saying that, but like you said that from, you know, Fink the last year to Fink this year, what did you really learn and change so much to be able to get to where you are?
Yeah, well, it's all just pretty much off-bike training and strength conditioning for this year on the 450. Last year, I went in just training normal, like just doing your normal training. But this year I focused a lot on the lower back and shoulders coming into the race, and that really helped. I turned up to Fink. Like, I think the first year I done Fink, I turned up and almost cried after the day. Me calves on the steg pegs and me lower back were just in so much pain, and that I really looked at that and I said I got to be doing something different to adjust to that and to make me feel better day in, day out there and get the best training in possible.
No, I mean, that's a huge thing, as you write, like steg pegs and things like that, and you're not doing it previously, you know, you're doing off-road, so it's a massive step up.
Yeah, that's it. It's all knowledge, it's all learning, and not being the bloke out there to go, I know everything, when clearly I don't. And I just want to speak to as many people as I can and take in as much information as possible and try to better myself from that and work out what works for me and what works for them. And then it's just been one of them things where I just like to learn and listen and really adapt to it.
I mean, and then obviously, like, you're on Gas now. Like, we've been on Gas for a while. But this seems to be an awesome match for you.
Yeah, I really love the bike. It was pretty much KTM up until I got on the Gas. So, the same, but different. Yeah. But, yeah, really enjoy the bike. And it's as soon as I moved across to the Gas when they first came out and got the opportunity to ride one, was I was like, yeah, no, this is a really good bike from the get-go, and really loved it and dwelled with it ever since. And it's been good to be on them for 2 years or so now, and really dial in the bike and change a few things that really, it's not much. It's just suspension settings and a little bit of fork angle, handlebar mounts and triple clamps and all that stuff, and be able to work out what works on that bike for me, and which is super grateful for the opportunity to be on this bike for a couple of years now.
Which, I mean, like, it's just normal, really, practice for anybody. You jump on a Yamaha or a KTM, everybody has that little thing that they change. Some people change peg positions, they change, you know, like, handlebars, like, as you said before. So it's really, jumping on this bike has done really not much different to what you do, like, on any other bike.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I've never been one to change much. I've just always been, get the suspension, get it set up for me, and then just pretty much ride the thing. And I've never been the picky rider that gets upset when something's not perfect. I'll just ride the thing. Like, at Fink, for instance, that setup that I ran was one of Jelsey's and Ashit Choice's setting that they gave me. I did not change a thing, a couple of clickers here and there, but yeah, no, that was their setting straight from the shop.
And it worked out well for you.
And it worked out absolutely perfect for me. So.
And so why'd you go to the 450, not stay on the 250?
I just was chasing a little bit more power and a little bit better result. It was always that stepping stone at Fink. It's a staircase more than just a one-step race. It's get into that top 30 now for Prologue and get the better Prologue, and then try to chase that front runner. And now this next year we'll obviously be starting in the top five, which is awesome.
It's crazy.
And then it's a lot more helpful, and then hopefully chase it. Just keep on progressing. That's my goal for the next couple of years, is just keep on progressing and learning, and then just see where it takes me from there.
I mean, you're right. Like, it is a stepping stone, and you've taken a pretty big fucking step, so, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people start, you know, in the top 100 and then go up, but you're straight in the mix at the start. It's crazy to think that you did that, but you're still also racing the off-road stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's one of them things where you get the off-season or the mid-season break now for the off-roads, and to allow people like myself to do the desert side of things, which is Fink and Hatter, in this break, and it makes it a full-on year. But yeah, I wouldn't change it at all.
And I mean, and you did the four-day too.
Yeah, I done that. Yeah, so we got that in our off-season sort of break as well for the AORC.
And do you do any motocross?
Yeah, this year I was planning on doing the motocross, but I think it was, round three at Wodonga. I just lined up not perfectly. I wanted to prepare myself best for the 4 day and try to walk tracks and learn the terrain and all that stuff before the race. And to be starting on a Wednesday and turning up on a Monday to walk 6 tests is probably not the smartest idea. So no. we just missed Wodonga, and then Chase just went from, instead of going to Wodonga, just went straight down to Erica there and walked some tracks with the boys. And I wish I could do the motocross, but it's just got to get your priorities right now and chase what you need to chase. And the same as the round in SA before Fink, I was considering flying down for it, but it's just not worth it in the end to go there and maybe run top 15 or so and then maybe come out with a niggling injury. Them tracks are pretty brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other issue you've got. Like, it'd be great to be able to race this stuff, but because you're doing so well in the off-road stuff, you don't want to be risking it for an injury on something that you're probably not. As you said, you're top 15, 16, but you won't actually get anywhere compared to if you just look after yourself. And
yeah, 100%. It's always good to go out and race them boys on a motocross track at a national level. It's always going to improve your riding, and you're always trying to push to the people in front, and that's the thing that I miss with racing the motocross. That intensity is so brutal for the first 10, 15 minutes, even the whole race, and that's really good training for the off-road scene. Like, we're going from 0 to 100 in a test, like, with an unknown track. It's all training in the end for the off-roads, but yeah, no, I really want to get the best results in motocross as well as I do in off-road.
So then how'd you find the 4 day? Because that's a huge thing, you know?
Yeah, my first 4 day was pretty rough. it was one of them races where I took a lot out of and learnt for the future.
There's a lot to learn, though, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's a huge thing to take in.
Yeah, that's what I learned on pretty much from race day onwards. I did not ask enough questions. I turned up underprepared, as you'd say, and just didn't have the right things and right tools around me. No excuses, but like the first day I struggled with, I just didn't click straight up, and the second day was an improvement, and we came back, I think, to second in class and fifth outright, and then going into the third day, it was all running sweet, but just having them little dramas during the first 2 days with electrical, I never got to change much tyres as I was trying to get my lights working and all that stuff.
Yeah. For,
otherwise, you get the penalty, and just never got around to changing the front tyre. I was just more worried about the rear, and that sort of sent me on the ground, I think, on day three, and yeah, hit my head pretty bad and ended up having to call it a day early, which is probably one of the hardest things to date I've ever done. I'm not a quitter and I didn't want to quit, and yeah, as people saw on race on that day, it just was unsafe for me to ride on the road and that. But yeah, it's one of them things.
Because it was a big hit.
Yeah, well, I ended up cracking my helmet in two spots. So, like these Bell helmets, like
they don't crack.
I'm sweet now. I had a sore head then, but man, if I wasn't wearing one of them, I think I could have been a little bit worse.
So how did it happen?
I just coming down a hill. I think I just hit a rock or something and lost the front, and then just straight into a bank on the other side, and it was just a sudden impact, and really don't have clear memory of that whole section, because I ended up doing about an hour of riding after that.
Far out.
Pulled up at a checkpoint, and yeah, I said to one of the boys, I'm like, I can't see, like I'm struggling, and we sat down and it just was getting worse then, and then the boys all made it in the group behind me, luckily made a group, they're like, oh, we'll get him back to some sort of civilization, and they rode around me all the way back to in town, which was a service checkpoint, and that's when the medics met me there, and yeah, it was super unsafe to continue, and I can understand their decision there, as frustrating as it was. Like, I just wanted to get to that motocross race and at the end of the 3 days, which would have been good, but yeah, no, it was super hard. I couldn't even watch the race. I tried to go out and watch it's just one of them things where it frustrated me so much. Like, it was my mistake that I was on the ground, and it was no one else's fault, and that was my fault that I didn't finish the race.
But I mean, at the same time, like, yeah, when you have those hits, it is hard to kind of pull yourself off the race, but it's what you have to do, man. You crack a helmet, that's it, game over, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, all the boys and that, like, that's another thing about the enduro scene. Like, I'm racing all them blokes out there, and they're got a bloke that's off with the Pixies, and they want to help him get back. It's like, that's a crazy scene to race in. Like, you know, they got your back out there, and I would do the same for any of them if any of them boys had dramas. But to see the support they had for me and to just get me back to my pits and safely is so incredible, and forever grateful for what they've done. Just to get me back that day, it was one of the things that I can't thank them enough. If I wasn't with them, I probably would have been lost in the forest somewhere. Like, I wasn't overly bright where I was going. I was just following the bike in front of me. But yeah, no, it was one of them races where it's like, it burns me a little bit. Yeah.
But as I said before, like, it's your first one. You're also still in the mix. You're in second place. Like, it was awesome results, even if you don't think so. But you just would have learned so much from it. And what you said before, like, what you did wrong, you know, this time, you're going to learn for next time. And you would have just picked up so much.
Yeah, 100%. Like, being the motocross background and all that, never really sort of watched the 6 days and followed the 6 days as much as I have, like, sort of the last couple of years. And to be able to, I went out there on that day four, when all the boys were changing the tyres, and just to watch how they do it differently to me, and to learn that aspect of the race, just the what they're doing in the pits and how they're operating there, was super good to watch. And yeah, just all a learning curve for me, and hopefully it will be better in the future.
So how fast can you change a tyre now?
I can change the tyre pretty quick, but then you get to the race and everything goes wrong, so I'm not going to say anything.
we're sub 10 minute though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, no, we're sweet for two tyres under 10 minutes. So.
Because that's going to lead on to the 6 day, mate.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's the 6 days coming up pretty quick.
And it's massive congratulations for getting selected in that, mate. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
On a 350 as well.
Yeah, I'll be on a Gas 350 over there, so a bit of a bike change. But I rode a 350 for my first 2 years in the EJ class,
yeah.
and really comfortable on the bike and really enjoyed that bike. And yeah, no, we should be right on with the transition, and really excited to represent the country again. It's my second time.
Yep.
I represented them in 2018 as a junior motocross rider. So no, to be able to go both scenes sort of thing is pretty cool. Although it's not two junior sort of aspects, as they say, for the enduros up to, I think, 23.
Yep.
So to represent both aspects of the motorcycle scene in the junior categories is pretty special to me.
Huge special, mate. And I think for our perspective, it was great to see you get chosen, especially after all your great success here in Australia with the AORC, and then not finishing the 4 day, which is not a massive issue for you and not a detriment, but it was, you still got selected from it, so it's a huge thing, mate.
Yeah, no, I think I showed that I had the speed. I just at the 4 day, and I just got to put a few things together. Like as I say, from the 4 day I've learned a lot, and we'll take it into the 6 day. We're going over as a team now, so we it will be all helpful to each other and all want to finish the best we can, so it'll be a really good learning curve the 6 day this year, and hopefully prepare myself for future races. And I'm going over the 6 day to do the best I can for my country and my team, and that's always the goal. So
And so what do you, like, as you said before, you haven't really done much with the 6 day stuff like before, you haven't really been following it. Have you now like been talking to all the other competitors, trying to get a better understanding, like Grabo and things like that as well?
Yeah, 100%. And Grabo's one of the most knowledgeable men in the business at the moment. So yeah, no, he's definitely going to be a massive help leading up to the 6 day. And then you've got Jeremy Carpentier, which has done a few, and I get along good with him. Andy Wilsh and all them boys, I do a bit of training with them. Even Chucky, he trained at his place so often. And all them crew, which are there to ask questions and to learn from them, which will help me in the long run, that's for sure.
And that's just what you're saying about the enduro scene, though. You can literally walk up to Chucky, you can walk up to Wilco and just be like, hey, what the fuck's going on? And they're gonna like, they're running and you know, in your team, but they're also competitors. They want to do a bit better than you potentially, and you know, get ahead of you, but they're always there to help you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's, as I say, the enduro scene's probably one of the best scenes to be a part of. And like that, yeah, it's cool how they, it's same as the motocross team heading over to the destinations, they all help each other and train with each other and try to progress each other, and that's the same as what we do in the off-road. We're going over there to do the best for our country as a team, and it's how Australians work, really. It's one in, all in sort of thing. So
yeah, when you put
cool
that flag
experience
on your back, I guess everybody wants to help it. And I mean, we've even talked just before, like your lead up to the 6 day though, it's like just hectic from now on. You've had 1 day at home, and then like really from this, it's just still like bang 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 bang, and then the next thing you know, you'll be in France.
Yeah, 100%. I think we got from now, we got Hutter this weekend, obviously, and then I think we got a two weeks off or so. So I might try to get home and try to get into some sort of reality again.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I think we got 2 weeks, and then we head to Mandorin, and then I think we get another weekend off, and then we at Nara, and then it's pretty much prep for the 6 day and straight over to the 6 day, which is good leading up to it. We like hard racing, and that's what we're getting as training. So no, it'd be good lead up into the 6 day. So
yeah, I mean, that's what you wanted. Said you had so much bike time, but you also want that gym time as well, and kind of focus on both of them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, been traveling and all that, it's hard to get a gym schedule in. And normally I'm at home. It's two times a day for 4 days, and ride the bike in between. So it's, yeah, no, it's good. It'll be good to get home and just get back into the gym and back into my schedule that I'm used to, and got the sauna and everything at home and recover properly again.
Yeah, I mean, also your diet as well. Like, dieting is hard. Like, keep a good diet on the road is real hard. Especially, I mean, we're in this van and it's plush as fuck, but like, it'd still be not what you could do at home.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's, I've learned how to cook pretty good in the last couple of months. So, no, I'm pretty sweet with my diet on the road, and I'm pretty strict on it. But, yeah, it's definitely easier to come home from the gym and mum's got this five-course meal on the table. So, no, it'll be good to be home.
Yeah, all your washing done instead of walking around laundromats and, you know, bacon egg rolls for breakfast and things like that, mate. But not your style, though.
Yeah, definitely not. But, yeah, no, it'd be good just to get home. And I got a pet dog and that. I took it to Fink with me, and like just time with that stuff, like time away from racing, and to do like your normal personal life, go see mates and hang out with people that I haven't seen for a long time now. So no, it'd be good to get home.
Mate, you've also got a fourth play from Fink. I mean, that's in your Tinder profile, surely.
I don't want to encourage that.
Borrow it then, mate?
Yeah, I'll give it to you and get a photo with it for you. Yeah, no, not my prime focus at the minute. get more results first. Hopefully we can change it to number one. I might put it in the Tinder, but otherwise they're going to be asking, why'd you get fourth?
Yeah, well, you're on a 450, mate. Like, come on. Like, that still blows my mind. Little 450 that could, keeping up with the big boys. It's just such a cool thing. I mean, I've spoken about it before, and it really just shows, like, you can take a 250 and be in the top 20. Like, it's not 500 territory. And then for you to do it on a 450, it was really interesting, because I was trying to explain to people, it was like, the 450's got the power. Like, the 450 is going to have more power than anybody. Walshy and maybe a few guys can ride the Panther for 500, but there's not many people out there who can spank a 500 and get away with it. You took a 450 and kept up with them the whole way.
Yeah, 100%. It's, one of them things where it's all personal preference, and it takes a big man and a big set of things between the legs to swing off a 500 for that long on a track that brutal. Like, they're not a small bike, and they're not a light bike either. So them boys, they're pretty gnarly riding a 500 at that pace. And yeah, no, the 450 I felt was perfect for me. I'm not the biggest bloke or the heaviest bloke in the world, so I felt it kept me a little bit grounded more on the 450 as the 500. But it's all a step. It's hopefully we can progress to a 500 eventually and chase that outright win.
But I think you could probably still get them on the 450. I mean, like, and I said it before and other times, there's footage of Jack Simpson, Jacob Smith and David Walsh like going past a bit of a hump.
Yeah, I've seen that. Oh my god.
But you could really hear the difference in the bikes. You know, Jack backed off a little bit quicker than the June, then Jacob backed off just a little bit, and you know, you could hear the bike, but then Walshy came through and there was no backing off at all. And that's really where everyone makes their time up.
Yeah, 100%. It's all track knowledge. If you know what's over the other side of that dune and the way that track forms up, you'll be confident to hold it wedged the whole way over it, like as you've seen David did. And that's how he caught him so quick. He knows that track so well, and he's so experienced out there, and is an absolute nutcase. He's crazy out there, and he's super good to watch. It's been awesome training with him this year, and doing a lot of pre-running with him. He's one of the best blokes I've like sort of met. That's so helpful, him and Hazy, and it's just been an awesome experience all around. As you say, to have the best people around me, super lucky. So
best people around you, because as you said before, I mean not taking it away from anything, but that's a good reason of why you managed to get to where you are with Fink, because you knew that track and you know where you could button off the 450 compared to like where you could keep it wedged.
Yeah, 100%. I was out there for a month straight with my pop. Like, it was nothing simple. It was pretty well a grind, being out in Alice Springs, away from family, away from home, away from friends, for a month straight in the Red Centre, which is not the nicest place to be in, I'd say, on a holiday. Well, not so much a holiday, but yeah, no, it got pretty frustrating at points, and you can't get away from it. Like, you have little malfunctions on the bike pre-running, and then you're going back to fix the bike to ride the next day. Yeah. It's non-stop for a month, which I'm glad I put in the work. I'll do it again next year if the schedule lines up as well. But you have to, I have to put in that work to be somewhere near these boys that have done it for so long.
Yeah.
To learn that track and to progress quicker, I need to be out there a lot more than what they do. Well, you'd say so.
Well, I mean, it shows. I mean, you said you're 20 years old and you're pushing with guys who've been racing for, you know, almost 20 years on you. it's crazy to know that you're still pushing it to them. I mean, what was it? It was Jake 17, I think, for Walshy, 13 for Jacob Smith. That's the amount of times they've run the track, you know, like raced it, and this is your second time.
As you've seen in some snapshots there, I had some moments. And
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. That was awesome.
I purely put that down to just not knowing how the track formed up as well. Like, I was...
Just for people's context, it was a good slapper. Like, you came out of that thing fucking...
Yeah, we were almost looking at the back wheel.
Side to side, to side to side. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it was... Yeah, it was a rider error. It's nothing to do with the bike here. You wouldn't blame it on the bike. I just tried to sweep across two buggy ruts and picked up an edge, and that's what happens when you try to sweep across two buggy ruts. So, no... That's just
best. Great photos. I just remember seeing that, going, "Whoa! Did he ride out of this one?"
Yeah, I was talking to the boys around the campfire that night. I'm like, I hope someone was at like that first bit of sand, 20 k's in, and because I had a big moment, and someone got it on camera, which I was pretty stoked with. So.
Super stoked. Yeah, that's your Tinder profile, mate. Just fucking eyes and everything.
Yeah, bloke can swing off it. That's for sure.
And I mean, you hear it, had our mate, and it's You've done a few days riding out here. You've got the bike prep. You've got your five star mechanic sleeping on the ground outside, mate. You must feel confident.
I'm confident in my bike and my ability. So we'll do the best that we can. I can't thank Jelzy, Ash, and even Milner for letting us come out to his property this week and test and tune the bike right up. Like, that's probably one of the most helpful things, is getting the bike set up for the race. It's so hard to set a bike up for Hatter because the track is so unique, but yeah, Milner and Jelzy have got that place out there, and it's pretty identical
to
the race.
The secret place, though, man.
Yeah.
All the secret places.
Yeah, all the secret places. And it was super good to get out there and test with the boys for a couple of days and ride. And I've been living down here with Sammy Prashira, and I can't thank his family enough for hosting me for 2 weeks. And yeah, he's one of the mans in the sand to watch. He's loose as, and he's really quick. So it's been good to train with him, and yeah, it's going into the race as prepared as we can be, and just see how we go.
Mate, it's so cool. I'm so excited to see you fly around here, because I think it's going to be interesting to see that big red machine just fucking tear the sand up.
And that's it. Hopefully we can get her up towards the pointy end. I just got to work out a prologue and not stuff it up like I did at Finca Inc. So
I wasn't going to mention that. I wasn't going to mention that, but okay.
There's no corrected time here, so there's no time to stuff around, that's for sure.
Yeah, man. Before we finish up, is there people you want to thank?
Oh, yeah, there's just a mess.
We'll get your phone out, mate. Yeah. We'll have a look at it.
I don't want to miss no one.
No, there's a huge list for it. I should have prepared this, mate. I got it
prepared. I just wasn't quick enough on the phone, that's all.
No, that sounds right.
So just... a massive thank you to the whole people that are making this desert side possible, really. It's just the whole Central Coast Small Goods, Blair's Tyres, Kenda, CDA Australia team that have put two bikes together that have been absolute rocket ships so far, and I can't thank them enough. Gas Australia for allowing me to do these races and a wicked schedule that I have had this year. It's just been crazy. And so fun. Like, there's not many companies that will let you do a AORC season and a desert season as well. Like, it's two gnarly seasons in itself. And super grateful for everyone there to allow me to chase my dreams and pursue that. So I can't thank them guys enough. And all the associated sponsors are Motorex Australia and WP Suspension. Like, that. I can't fault this suspension that I've been given last couple of races, especially thinking Hatter and AORC. It's like Jelzy, Ash from Choice Suspension, they know how to tune a set of suspension, which is makes my job a lot easier. And they, it's so awesome to have someone that you can go back to and go, it's doing this, and they know exactly what to change. And you can't go wrong when you're working with people like that, when you got your bike set up like that. So, and then it goes, yeah, it's just one of them things where I'd be nowhere sort of without them guys and their help this year. Like, they've gone above and beyond, I think, more than most people would to help me on. I'm giving, like, I'm a lot of work for them boys.
You're testing them.
Yeah, I'm like, they're probably sick of me by now. going there for all different setups.
Yeah, and, yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, nah, them boys, I just can't thank them enough. Back home, Suttos, I've been with them for 10 years now, so... it's crazy how much support they give me and still so helpful, so it's good to have people like that. And Kenda Tires, CDA Australia, Cassens, OGO, O'Neill, Bell, Garnet, just that whole crew is so helpful. Cassens, they're gone above and beyond for me as well. It's not easy to cover all bases, like I say, with GasGas, they've covered all bases for me, and so have them guys, and given me the gear and supplied me with the stuff that I need to do so many races, which is good. And massive thank you goes to Ben Grabham, Grabbo's Trail and Track, so wouldn't be anywhere without that bloke. He's so smart and so helpful, and just one of them blokes where you can count on to ask a question and you'll get the right answer. And yeah, I'm forever grateful for his support and help for the last couple of years. It's really progressed my riding, and I hope to do a little bit more with the years to come with him and progress more and more every year, which is my goal in the end. And then Carusi Motorsports.
Don't get his head any bigger than he needs.
Afro to. Race Engines, yeah. Them boys, like, as a group, have gone above and beyond for me as well this year. It's not easy to build 250s, build 450s.
No.
Fink, Hatter, you got a rebuild in between that. It's only 2-3 weeks, so and I'm not the only bloke that's there working, they're doing work for. No. So to make time for me and to get the bike sorted for me, I can't thank them guys enough. And the biggest one I have to thank is Gary Bray, Central Coast Small Goods supplier up on the Central Coast there. And if you're looking for some meat and some small goods, make sure you check them out, because they're dialed in. That bloke is an absolute legend. He's done everything from pull the bike down, wash the bike, get the motor to APRO, rebuild the bike, get it to me, and everything in between. So, no, that bloke has done a lot, and, yeah, him amongst with Mum, Dad, I'll thank them. I'm not going to sound soft, but they are my biggest supporters, and they have helped me so much, and wouldn't be possible, like, any of this. I wouldn't be here right now talking to you about motorbikes if it wasn't for them too. So, no, I can't thank them enough, and, yeah, just a whole...
Just
family,
everyone.
Family, friends.
That's a hell of a list, yeah. But it's so cool to see. You're so young, you're so high up in there, but you've just got so much support. So
yeah.
You should be stoked.
Yeah, there. It's like Matt from MotoKit from down home has just been on the grind probably for a month before Fink, even for the ARCs. Like, he's just gone above and beyond graphics-wise. As you can see, my bike is probably one of the best looking out there. He's got the glitter effect and everything on it, which is awesome. And the bloke goes as far now, he's prepping a helmet, like he wraps helmets as well. So he's wrapping one of my helmets for the 6th day, which will be pretty exciting to see. And yeah, him and his wife, Katrina, they've gone above and beyond as well. It's so hard to look at it and go, all these people are like putting in so much effort for me, and I'm forever grateful for it. Like, although I haven't been home for that long to see everyone and thank them, but yeah, no, I thank them so much, and it wouldn't be possible without them.
Mate, that's awesome. That's so cool, man. It's so cool to have so much support behind you, and then for you to go around and turn the results like you are, you're stoked, man.
Yeah, that's it. It's the easiest way to say thank you, and is yeah. Get good results and get that's publicity it. For them, and that's what I'll try to do. I've never been big on like having the most sponsors in the world. Just have the loyal ones and have the people that you need in your corner. Like, you don't really need to be the most popular bloke or look like you're the most got the most sponsors out there. But yeah, no, it's definitely super grateful, and just yeah, I want to keep progressing, and this is a dream that I want to chase, and it'd be good to sort of chase the 6 days like championship now, and then sort of have a go at the rally if I can, like, in the future. It's just there's a big.
Man, there's a few more steps before we get to the rail.
I'd love to chase that, and it's just so cool to see what even Pricey and Chucky has done now. Yeah. It's an awesome road, and it's super sick to see how it worked and how good they're going at it now.
So. Real trailblazers. I mean, there's been a lot of Australians who've done rally already, like there's heaps of them, but for see Chucky and Toby to actually get there and be on that stage as a factory rider, super exciting.
Yeah, and it's the pinnacle.
You're on the right colour to go on to the rally, mate.
Yeah, I like the red. I think the red looks good. I just got to fix that bloke out the side on the ground with a red swag. I think we might have to get the spray can on it tonight.
Mate, if there's anybody to have a fucking orange KDM swag, it's Caruso.
Yeah, we'll have to get it. We'll have to turncoat it because we can't rule Walshy out completely. Paint a red down the middle and give her a red race.
We'll just get gas stickers and stick it on everything, mate.
Yeah, we might have to do something like that.
But look, we ask three questions at the end of every podcast. Just three quick fire questions. Don't think too much, man. I know you don't, but just don't think too much of this one. First question, most embarrassing accident or injury you've ever had on a bike?
Last year on the lead up to Think, I actually almost cut me old fella off. My front wheel collapsed through a set of rollers and I ended up with 12 stitches from pretty much my ass to up the side of me nuts. So, that's that's probably one of my worst ones.
Okay. Whoa, let's go back. There's so much to break down. So, your front wheel collapsed?
Yeah, a front wheel collapsed going through a set of rollers.
And then what, you just nosedive?
I just thought that I was dropping the front in the roller, so I gave it a little bit more berries to try to pull the front up, and little did I know the front was locking up, so the back came around pretty quick and ended up just grabbing my leg on the steering damper on the way the way through, so I wasn't the most it was probably Man. So last year was probably one of my most painful. That was the Monday before the race, so wasn't the best race.
Shitting me, that Monday before, so you had a full week to like heal everything up before you weren't even fucking healed. You probably had blood still coming out your stitches.
Yeah, no, I had stitches still in and they were pretty much all snapped in half by the end of the race. But that's probably one of my most embarrassing.
Oh yeah, what do you do? You run around like my dick's cut off.
Yeah. So between last year and this year, the same Monday I hit the donkey this year, and it's like I'm not going to ride on Mondays before Think now. So
that's because that now makes sense because you had, I think on your Instagram, you had a little plate that said don't hit the donkey or something like that. I'm like, what the fuck is a donkey?
This year pre-running, not many people. No, I'd let the cat out of the bag now, really. I was pre-running with the boys and ended up having a pack of donkeys running out in front of me and sort of hit one of the donkeys, so.
What?
Yeah, hit a donkey. I hit a donkey. There's four donkeys in Alice Springs, and I hit one of them, so. Sorry to that donkey, it's got a sore ass, but
You hit a donkey?
On the same day I hurt myself last year, so.
So Mondays before the ride?
Monday's no good.
No,
not going to ride.
First you hit your balls, then you hit your ass.
Yeah, about 10Ks apart, so. If on Monday I'm going to get out on the service road and ride that part, past that section of the track, and then continue on.
I can't believe you hit a donkey, man. That's just so crazy.
Yeah, I still got a little bit of the fur in my boot, so. it's me good luck charm now, I think, so.
Yeah, okay, right. You're an ass, and fair enough. All right,
that was an unexpected turn, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. That's going to be the soundbite. I'm fucking using that. That's awesome. Okay, music. Do you listen to music? What's your favourite kind of genre? Do you listen to anything before or after races?
Oh, yeah. You'd get in the car with me and go, what is this bloke? Is he, like, gay or is he, like, a hardcore bloke? Or, I listen to everything. So, anything from, I don't know.
Not country?
Not so much country, sort of into the old classics as well. They get me good G'd up. So, always hang around me old boy, and he's a footy player, and you know what footy players are like with music.
Yeah.
So.
Just all music.
All music.
My man.
I'm just, I'm open to everything. I'll listen to anything.
What's your secret song, though, that you like that you probably shouldn't like?
Oh, yeah. So, me, like, main G up song is, like, Location by Khalid, I think it is. Yeah. So, I have to show it.
You have to show
me. You'll be like, is this bloke G'ing up or going to sleep? Like, no. That's normally like my go-to. I sing along to that. So.
Well, you're the man. As long as it's not country, you're okay. And then golden ticket item. So golden ticket item, I mean, you can go to any event anywhere in the world, full factory sponsor, like ready to go. You just turn up, jump on a bike. Could be a car if you wanted to do Le Mans. You could be the ball boy for the female volleyball team. Like, it's really any event you want to go to. What would it be?
The sickest race I reckon I'd love to do, like, for fun, like on a decent bike, would be that European beach race. I think it's that Red Bull one.
The European beach race.
Oh, what's it called now?
I'm thinking not Roof to Africa.
No, I'll have to show you it, but I don't think they ran it for a couple of years now, but it's pretty much a full beach race. They set up a track on the beach, and the tide comes in and everything. Like, it's pretty gnarly.
Have you ever thought about doing the one up in Cairns? Is it the Grass Tree Beach Race?
No, I never heard of it.
What?
To be honest with you.
Bro, that is the one you want to be doing. We've got
we've got one over here and I don't even know about it.
Yeah, I think it's called Grass Tree Beach Race.
Yeah.
Hang on, we'll Google it right now because I don't want to be wrong and I don't want to look like an idiot on this thing. It's a grass... Where the fuck is it? Beach Race. Hang on. Yeah, it's a motorcycle... it's a Grass Tree Beach Race.
Yeah, right. So I've been... Getting all excited about one of you.
That's
it
there.
Yeah, I might have to do that now. You got me all excited.
That's it's in July 10th.
When's that? Tomorrow. Let's go.
It's not tomorrow. But it's
next
close.
Weekend.
Next weekend.
Yeah, we're on.
It's in Cairns, I think it is. It's a full beach race up there, mate. Like it's a thing.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Red Bull Knockout.
Oh, the Red Bull Knockout. Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
That race looks sick.
Well, we've got one here, mate.
Yeah, we've got one here, and we're going next weekend. We'll pack the van, and we're going.
All right, mate, I'm coming with you. Let's drag KDM boy out there, and we'll fucking head up.
Don't worry about going home this time. Let's just go straight there.
Plans have changed. No 2 weeks off. We're heading to the Grass Tree.
Yeah, that's it. Sounds cool.
So beach racing, that's where you want to go?
Yeah, I'd be keen on that.
Yeah, nice. All right, man. Well, look, thank you so much for your time, buddy. It's been awesome. It's been awesome to see you progress as well, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do out here at Hatter.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's always a great opportunity to be put on a good stage here and thank the people that I need to thank. Yeah. So I can't thank you enough for giving me this opportunity to come on and talk about my side of the story and let people into an inside of how I've come up as...
That's it.
So it's super grateful.
That's a big thing that I really wanted, and that's why I reached out to you, and that's why we're doing it like 7 in the morning on Friday. Like, I wanted you to be in here because I think when people were looking down the list and they were like, oh, you know, yeah, Walshy, yeah, Jack Simpson, yeah, you know, Jacob Smith and Ivan Long, Ben Grabham, who the hell is this Corey McNamara? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I think it was really important. And I saw your bike when we went to Carusi's place and he was working on Walshy's bike. And at that time it was Liam's bike too.
Yeah.
And then your bike was there. And I was like, who's this kid? Like, you know, how the fuck did he link up with you? And Carusi's like, you got to do your research on Corey. Because he's like, he's going to fucking make it. And then, yeah, watching you come through, man, it's just been awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been good. And yeah, no, it's... I just
surrounded by the best people, man. Just keep going.
Yeah, no, it's just one of them things. It leaves you speechless. Yeah. The people that help me, so.
No, awesome, man. Well, I look forward to seeing it. I look forward to seeing your Tinder profile, and we'll talk to you soon.
No worries. Cheers, mate.